This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show. Brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, be sure to get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct financing at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers farm-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to a year. Ag Direct also features easy applications, fast credit decisions, and is offered through Farm Credit Services of Illinois. People who understand agriculture. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. Get a good deal on farm equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Hawkeye Steel has moved to its new office and showroom. Come out and visit them at 711 Hawkeye Avenue in White City. In addition to their steel inventory and metal building panels and component, they now stock a variety of metal-related goods, such as metal shelving, air compressors, nuts and bolts, etc. Ornamental iron components for the do-it-yourselfer, or they can quote you fabricated units. Hawkeye Steel also carries a variety of welding supplies. New items arrive daily. Get to Hawkeye Steel today. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning. First of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 7.01 1/4, down a quarter. September wheat trading at 7.08 1/2, down a half. July corn trading at 6.58 3/4, down 2. September corn trading at 5.72, up a penny. July soybeans trading at 15.25 3/4, down 6 1/4. August beans trading at 14.46 3/4, that's down 8. Yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat ended at 7.01 1/2, down 7 1/2. September wheat ended at 7.09, down 8 3/4. December wheat ended at 7.22 3/4, down 9. July corn yesterday ended at 6.60 3/4, up a quarter. September corn ended at 5.71, down 12 3/4. December corn ended at 5.42 1/4, down 10 3/4. July soybeans yesterday ended the day at 15.32, that was up 3 1/4. August beans 14.54 3/4, up 2 3/4. September beans ended at 13.54, down 6 1/4. July soybean meal yesterday ended at 455.90, up 34. August meal 432.70, up 33. September meal $408, down 8. July soybean oil yesterday ended the day at 48.30, down 29. August oil 48.27, down 29. And September oil ended the day at 48.05, down 36. July oats yesterday ended at 384.5, up 2 3/4. September oats ended at 377 1/4, up 4 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is John Ray with Wednesday afternoon's grain report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed late Wednesday afternoon. Pressure from improving weather forecasts along with limited demand pressured values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn steady to 1 cent lower at 689 to 704. Soybean bids are mixed at 1525 to 1542. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mixed at 686 to 701. Soybean bids are mixed at 1544 to 1565. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn unchanged to a penny higher at 687 to 709. Soybean bids are mixed at 1545 to 1582. Wheat was down 7 to 9 cents at 680 to 705. Contract bids to producers for fall delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall delivery shell corn contracts range from 509 to 527. Fall delivery soybean contracts range 1261 to 1280. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted in a range of 509 to 525. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from $12.70 to $12.91. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at $5.15 to $5.33. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from $12.72 to $12.94. Illinois soybean processors' cash bids were 10 and 3/4 to 11 and 3/4 cents lower at $15.65 to $15.83. Basis was down 14 to 15 cents at 33 to 51 cents over the July. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered $3.40 per ton higher at $487.90 to $497.90. Illinois corn processor cash bids were down 5 to 7 cents at 7.02 and 3 quarters to 7.10 and 3 quarters, with the basis 6 to 7 cents lower at 42 to 44 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted air producer corn market 1 to 6 cents higher at 7.05 and 3 quarters to 7.10 and 3 quarters, with the basis up 1 to 5 cents at 45 to 50 cents over July. Soybeans are 2 to 4 cents stronger at 15.52 to 15.57, with the basis unchanged to a penny lower at 20 to 25 over July. Wheat prices were down 7 and 1/2 cents at 6.97 and 1/2 to 7.04 and 1/2, with the basis levels unchanged at minus 4 to a plus 3 over the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed air producer corn market unchanged higher at 7.05 up to 7.32. These elevators placed their soybean bids mixed with quotations at 15.58 to 15.70. Soft wheat was down 8 cents at 7.20 to 7.21. Milo closed unchanged at 6.79 to 6.80. This is John Ray reporting.
Also on the livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, June hogs ended the day at 96.65, up 12. July hogs ended at 94.57, down 17. August hogs, 93.70, down 20. June cattle yesterday, 120.25, down 70. August cattle, 119.27, down 85. October cattle, 122.40, down $1.05. August feeder cattle yesterday ended at 144.60, down 97. September feeders, 146.85, down 70. And October feeders, 148.50, down 72. Now we take you to the Department of Agriculture once again, this time for the cash livestock markets.
This is Megan Rothy with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 12 cents higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in a range of $82 to $96.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $91.72. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 46 to 48. 4 to 5 weights traded at 49 to 53. 5 to 550 at 51 to 54. And over 550 pounds at 54 to 55. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded a dollar higher, with moderate demand and offerings ranging from 64 to 68. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 10,026 head. For the Fairview auction for June 4th, receipts totaled 389. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers, heifers, and slaughter cows traded unevenly steady. A really high quality set of slaughter bulls sold $3 to $5 higher, and overnight cattle appeared to have really good weights. Choice slaughter steers traded from 122.50 to 130. Choice slaughter heifers from 123.75 to 129.50. For the slaughter cows, premiums traded from 80.25 to 82. Breakers at 80 to 85. Boners at 70 to 76.25. And leans at 60 to 65. Moving on to the Fairview special bred cow and cow-calf sale for June 4th. Receipts totaled 190. Trade was moderate, with moderate demand for this set of later calving cows. There was still good demand for younger bred cows and younger cow-calf pairs out of reputation herds. Bred cows, large second stage middle age, traded from 985 to 1250. Aged traded from 800 to 975. Third stage young traded from 1060 to 1450, middle aged at 1150 to 1400, and aged at 800 to 1275. Cow calf pairs large ones, youngs traded from 1900 to 2250, and middle aged from 1425 to 1750. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 125.50 and on a dress basis at 194. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 423 loads. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 95.22, which was 54 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $204.40, which was 89 cents lower, with select carcasses at $184.56, which was 47 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 124,000, compared to 126,000 for last week and 129,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 408,000 compared to 426,000 last week and 403,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Megan Rothy with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 154 unchanged. For block cheese, 173.5 up 2.75. For barrel cheese, 173 up 4.5. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, 1803. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, 703. For July, 706. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, 695. And for July, 698. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, 1546. And for July, 1534. Wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.88. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $7.03, corn at Scottville, $6.95, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.46, wheat at Scottville, $6.88. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Farming's a challenging business, and this spring's wet weather isn't making it any easier. M&M Service Company's agronomy team is knowledgeable about every aspect of modern crop production, from precision farming technologies to seed selection and custom application. They know your operation and practices and will bring the right product, service, and right advice to your farm. Don't let wet weather and a slow spring put you behind. Call your local M&M Service Company office today. Find out how your agronomy team is there to help. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Partly cloudy skies today, a slight chance of showers, high temperatures in the upper 70s with light northwest winds. Tonight becoming cloudy, again a slight chance of showers, low temperatures in the upper 50s. For tomorrow Friday, cloudy skies, once again a slight chance of showers, the high in the low 70s. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies and warmer, a slight chance of showers Saturday night through Monday, low temperatures in the mid 60s. High temperatures in the low 80s. Overnight here at the Weather Center, a trace of precipitation. WSMI weather watcher Rich Henry of Staunton, a tenth of an inch of rain. Right now, 63 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder, by Monsanto's Southern Illinois team, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.
The whole idea of buying a good vehicle is to save money. So how much sense does it make to go traipsing up to Springfield, Alton,
or St. Louis,
when White Automotive has such a wide choice of quality?
Inspected.
Pre-owns to choose from right here at home.
That's the right idea.
And that's the whole idea. WhiteAutomotive.com.
Don't buy a vehicle till you have the right price. The right price.
Here's another pick of the week from Wright Automotive. The 2013 Ford Fusion SE with heated seats and Oxford White for the right price of only $25,380.
The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Asgrow soybeans have hung in there strong year after year. Whether you are switching corn acres to soybeans or just haven't ordered your soybean seed yet, consider Asgrow on your farm this season.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
I plant Asgrow AG 4232.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
Local Southern Illinois farmers plant Asgrow soybeans.
Contact your local Asgrow dealer today.
In our news this morning on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brank about crop conditions in the area. He said armyworm is something producers need to watch for.
It seems like starting about a week ago, the armyworm population really exploded, particularly in wheat fields. We've got a lot of wheat fields that are being treated right now, particularly in Madison County. And we have seen some fields where the flag leaf has been completely stripped off, and head cutting has occurred as well. So there are some pretty heavy populations of armyworm, and I would certainly suggest that if you've got a wheat field, get out there and take a look at it. Now, to scout for it, you need to go out into the field and part the canopy and look on the surface of the soil, and if armyworm are present, you'll certainly see them on the ground. Now, certainly, as they grow and mature to about the third or fourth instar, they will climb up the plant, they will migrate upwards on the plant and start feeding on the flag leaf, and that'll be the first indication that besides seeing them on the surface of the soil, feeding of the flag leaf will be the first indication that armyworm is out there. And then after they completely defoliate the flag leaf, then they'll continue upward and feed on the head, and then actually will clip off the head as well. So this has been a pretty dramatic occurrence here in the past week or so. We started seeing them about a week ago, maybe last Thursday or so, but it seems like they've really spread. Now, we have had certain cases where they have migrated out of the wheat field into the nearby corn field, and several years ago, we saw this that happened as well. So if you've got a wheat field, make sure you check it pretty closely, scout, and then walk into your nearby cornfield, see if they've migrated into it. Now, armyworm will have upwards of about three generations per year. They'll have a generation now, and there'll be another generation about a month from now, and then there'll be a generation this fall as well. So we need to get out there and scout the wheat fields pretty closely and the nearby cornfields as well. But there are, you know, many insecticides can be used to control armyworm, and if you want someone from M&M Service Company to come out and check your field, you know, the crop specialist certainly will do that. So watch it pretty closely.
And if you can treat them, like you said earlier, when you first see them on the ground, that's probably the best time to treat it, right?
That's true. You want to protect that flag leaf, as I've mentioned numerous times. That flag leaf is worth about two-thirds of the yield of the wheat, and so that's the portion of the plant you really want to protect. So get out there right now and, you know, part that canopy and look on the surface of the soil and see if you see any armyworms. They're out there in various sizes, you know, anywhere from just emerging, just pupating, until the third and fourth instar. So there'll be different sizes out there.
Late-planted corn, that's probably going to be something that producers are going to have to look at over the next week or two, isn't it?
I've been reading where it's been estimated that about 88 to 90% of the corn is planted in Illinois, but you get into some of the areas, like I was in the Mount Olive area recently and talking to some farmers, and some of them said they still have about 50% of their acres to plant yet. So the question remains then, you know, should they continue to plant or should they switch over to soybeans? And I think from what I'm hearing from a lot of producers in that area, they're comfortable with going with corn up until about May 20th, and I would probably agree with that. We've done that before. After all, the real success of the corn crop, you know, depends on the weather that we have midsummer or during the mid-growing season. So that's, you know, if we have really good conditions in July and first part of August, you know, it'll overcome a lot of those late planting problems. But you look at the data, like from the University of Missouri, we could have as much as a 40% decrease in yield if we plant the first part of June. Now, a lot of farmers are asking the question, should they switch over if they want to plant corn? A lot of producers are locked into corn because of the fertilizer and herbicides they've already applied to some of these fields. The question is, should they switch over to a shorter season maturity hybrid? And the answer is probably not. Now, when we look at these relative maturities, it's an index. It's not actually the number of days to maturity, but it's an index based upon a base hybrid. In other words, a 105-day hybrid is 105 days compared to that base hybrid, which, you know, we don't know. Now, it gives us a pretty good indication of maturity, but the later the corn is planted, the fewer the growing degrees that are needed for that corn, for that hybrid to reach maturity. In other words, if you plant a 110-day hybrid right now, in reality, that's true if you plant it about May 1st, but if it's planted like June 1st or later, that 110-day maturity may, in fact, be only like 105 or 107-day maturity. So it'll mature much more quickly when planted in these conditions. So even though you've got, even though the label indicates it's 110-day corn planted now, it probably will take less than 110 days to reach maturity. So I guess in summary, I probably wouldn't switch maturities too much until, you know, we get maybe, 2 weeks from now or so, and that field just has to be planted to corn. Then you might want to switch to something a little bit shorter season.
Would the soil temperature at that time be a factor in determining what sort of a, like, say, 105, 110, 115-day hybrid to plant?
That is one indication. Temperature is a big indicator of the maturity of corn. Soil temperature, you know, warmer soil temperatures will allow for quicker emergence. And, you know, the clock starts ticking, you know, right after it's planted. So if we have quicker emergence, that's going to decrease probably the relative maturity or the growing degree days needed for physiologically mature corn, which is black layer, you know, in the fall. So, you know, if it gets started quicker, then the growing degree days, the number it takes for maturity will probably decrease. So that is a big factor. And then, of course, maturity or temperature during the growing season is a big factor as well. But then they talk about temperatures above 86 degrees as being ineffective temperature. They call it ineffective temperature, which means in determining growing degree days, they don't use a temperature above 86 degrees, nor do they use a temperature lower than 50 degrees in calculating the growing degree days. So this is temperature is, in fact, a big factor.
But with the conditions we've had, that really hasn't allowed for the soils to really warm up much, hasn't it?
Well, that's true, but we've also had, I've talked to a number of producers, and they talk about how quickly the corn has emerged. So apparently the soil temperature is high enough. I mean, some producers tell me that they can see it, you know, in 4 or 5 days. They can certainly row it in a week's time. So some of these fields have come out pretty quickly, and those that I've seen, you know, where there is emergence, there's a good stand, and I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen out there. It's just that, you know, we still have considerable acres in this area to plant yet.
That was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions, and we discussed the wheat crop, and he said that traders are thinking that the crop is in good shape, but uncertainties remain.
The only question is, with all this rain, will that have taken some of the yield and quality off the crop? I think what we're going to see as we get into next week, USDA probably bump up the size of the soft red winter wheat crop a little bit because we've had a pretty good spring overall, although Illinois' ratings have pulled back some over the last 2 to 3 weeks. The hard red winter wheat crop, meanwhile, continues to deteriorate. So So the bad is getting worse. The good is getting better, so to speak, as a general trend. It looks like we got two totally different wheat crops, and what USDA reports as a winter wheat crop is kind of a blend of the two, and the trade's confused, so they're simply going sideways and keeping their eye on the corn market.
About 2 weeks ago, the Illinois Wheat Association had their wheat tour, their spring wheat tour, and they projected the yield here in Illinois at about 61.5 bushel. Has that been changed, do you know?
I don't think it's been changed. I think that's probably a fairly good assessment of where the crop is right now. Until we get into it, we really won't know those last filling days and the last couple of weeks, how well that kernel continues to fill out and plump out makes a big difference on that final yield.
That yield number two, I'm not sure it's all that important to some, because most of the wheat grown around here is milled for flour, and they're more concerned with milling quality.
Absolutely, and that's where the rains come in. If we continue with this wet pattern once the crop is matured, then you start losing that milling quality. That's what we don't want to see happen, and is what the wheat industry is watching closely.
And that's Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. The House Judiciary Committee favorably reported the Federal Agriculture Reform and Risk Management Act of 2013 by voice vote Wednesday, but not before adding an amendment to the House Agriculture Committee's version of the Farm Bill to ensure the Dairy Market Stabilization Program and new conservation programs are subject to promulgation under the Administrative Procedure Act and the Congressional Review Act. The requirement was waived in the version of the bill reported by the Agriculture Committee. Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte called it a matter of transparency and accountability within the federal rulemaking process. Given the broad changes and economic impacts that programs in the Farm Act will bring to America's farmers and ranchers, Goodlatte said the public deserves a full and fair opportunity to comment on the regulations that will determine how these programs will be run. The committee approved the amendment by voice vote with bipartisan support. The House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee has approved the fiscal year 2014 Ag Spending Bill. The measure was approved on a voice vote. The Hagstrom Report is reporting it appears all Democratic members of the committee voted against the measure. While the Democrats praised Subcommittee Chairman Robert Aderholt for his management of the bill and performance as chairman, they said the allocation was too small. The National Pork Board is committed to helping expedite research to find answers to the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. To do so, the National Pork Board has approved $450,000 in checkoff funds toward the effort. This money, along with funds provided through the Iowa Pork Producers Association's Research Committee, means a total of $527,000 is dedicated to PEDV research. National Pork Board President Conley Nelson says the board took this action to help get answers to U.S. producers as quickly as possible to help protect their herds from this devastating disease. Mr. Nelson says it's because of the investment producers make as part of the checkoff that the National Pork Board is able to respond quickly to sudden disease threats like this one. As with all research, Nelson says the National Pork Board wants this porcine epidemic diarrhea virus research to be transparent and objective and specific, with quick turnaround times to get answers quickly. Finally today, a New Mexico company's plans to convert a cattle plant into a horse slaughterhouse have hit another roadblock, this time over an environmental permit. The company's attorney says the Obama administration is putting politics over policy. Valley Meat Company of Roswell, New Mexico, has been fighting for more than a year to get approval to slaughter horses. It says the United States Department of Agriculture keeps changing the rules because it opposes horse slaughter. Administration officials did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The application by Valley Meat to resume domestic horse slaughter has ignited an emotional national debate over whether horses are livestock or domestic companions. The company wants to ship horse meat to countries where it is consumed by humans and sold for things like zoo food. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Right now, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat is now trading at 7.01¾, up a quarter. The September wheat trading at 7.08¾, down a quarter. July corn now trading at 6.59 and three quarter, down a penny. September corn trading at 5.72 and a half, up 1 1/2. July soybeans trading at 15.27 and three quarter, down 4 1/4. August beans 14.49, down 5 3/4. Reporting on this Thursday morning, I'm Randy Prangy.